Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up? The Anchor Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters, and we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, did the Bears screw up their quarterback evaluations going into the Mitchell Trubisky, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes draft? The obvious answer would probably be yes right now, considering how good those other two guys are and how bad Trubisky is. However, the Chicago Tribune did a deep dive talking to a lot of people off the record, sources that were involved in the Chicago Bears evaluations, and a lot of interesting things came out of it. It's made big news in Chicago. We'll talk about that coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. Let's begin with your college football playoff rankings, boys and girls, where the College Football Playoff Committee put LSU as the number one team in the country, rightfully so. There is no way you could have watched Saturday's game at Tuscaloosa and not come away from it saying that's the best team in football. Now, Ohio State has an argument there. But nobody in football has a win as good as going to Tuscaloosa and dropping 46 on them and leading by 20 at the half. Nobody. That wasn't an ugly game. It wasn't a lucky win. It was LSU flexing its offensive muscle, making Tua Tagovailoa, who might be the number one pick in the draft, look very bad at times, and dropping half a hundy nearly in a place that hadn't seen that many points scored since 1907. LSU deserving to be the number one. And Joe Burrow might be the number one pick instead of Tua. Ohio State 2, great. No problem there. Clemson 3, great. No problem there. The issue there comes at number 4, where Georgia slides in to the number 4 slot. This is a little bit of a red herring. Kind of the way Penn State, Ohio State, Bama, LSU were the top 4 last week. The committee slid in 2 teams that were definitely going to drop out of the top 4 because they were going to have a loss after this past weekend. And that happened to Minnesota and Alabama, obviously. We didn't know if Minnesota would lose this past week to Penn State. We didn't know if Penn State, rather, would lose to Minnesota, but we knew that at some point in time, Penn State or Ohio State was going to have a loss because they play one another coming up. So the committee sliding Georgia into 4 does the same thing. Georgia is either going to make the college football playoff or not based on if they win the SEC championship game. So really putting them at number 4 right now doesn't mean much. They're not going to get into the college football playoff when they lose or if they lose in Atlanta. They definitely will be in the college football playoff if they win in Atlanta. So the Georgia thing at number 4 is kind of just window dressing. All it says is Georgia wins out, they're in the playoff. It would call into question LSU. Because perhaps LSU at number 1's only loss would be to Georgia, then a 1-loss LSU team might have an argument. But Georgia itself is very clear-cut. Win out, you're in. Lose, you're out. Then it brings up Alabama at 5. And I talked about this earlier in the show. I don't think they're deserving at 5. because Alabama does not have a good win. Their best win is over an unranked A&M team right now. And A&M is a middle-of-the-road SEC squad. They're maybe the fifth best team in the SEC. Sixth. If your best victory is the sixth best team in your conference, that's not much of a resume. Duke's terrible. The rest of their non-conference schedule is terrible. The rest of their SEC West slate so far has been terrible. Alabama will have one big chance against Auburn of the Iron Bowl to have a really quality win. But putting them at five yet, I think it's only because they're Alabama. Then it goes Oregon, Utah, 6-7. And I think this is interesting because if they remain in this sphere, one loss at 6 or at 7, that means either the Ducks or the Utes will have a 12-1 record, and their final win coming on a weekend that Alabama does not play over one another. And I think that's going to be enough to vault them over Alabama. I think. I mean, if you beat the sixth or seventh best team in the country, then you should move up one slot, I would think, on that final weekend. When, again, Bama's going to be idle, assuming LSU's in the championship game. But then that brings us to number eight, of Minnesota. And Minnesota at number eight, some people have said, are getting screwed. Because Minnesota now has a better win than Alabama. I mean, Minnesota just beat Penn State, who was number four in the standings, and has dropped to number nine. So Minnesota hopped Penn State. But for Gophers fans, you betcha, they're saying, well, we have a better win than Alabama. We have a better win than Oregon. We have a better win than Utah. Why are we under them and we haven't lost? And I think that's a fair conversation to have. I mean, when you look at Minnesota and Alabama's resumes, how is Alabama's better? Now, granted, they played LSU and, okay, they came back in the second half, but Minnesota played a top four team and beat them. LSU played a top four team and lost. And the rest of their schedules have been dog food. For Gophers fans, though, that are upset, note, your non-conference schedule was an absolute disgrace. South Dakota State, Georgia Southern, Fresno, disaster. Get it out. That's a terrible non-conference slate. The fact that you've got South Dakota State and Georgia Southern on this schedule and then you schedule Fresno as the one other game outside of that, terrible. But then also, you're just not helped by your side of the Big Ten this year. Illinois, good story, but not a great team. Nebraska, not a great team. Rutgers, dumpster fire. Maryland, dumpster fire. But you can't worry about it. You can't worry about it because Minnesota will get into the playoff if they win out. You've got a game at Iowa coming up this weekend and a game against Wisconsin to end the season. You know, if Minnesota wins those two games, those are two top 20 opponents, one of which on the road, to end the season, they're going to move up a few more slots. But even if they don't, even if they are at 6, 7, or 8 and they go into the Big Ten championship game, if they beat Ohio State or Penn State and they're 13-0 Big Ten champ is going to the playoff. So while at the moment it might feel like disrespect, hey, what's the difference between our resume and Alabama's resume? Why are we 8 and them 5? Ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Because if you are 13-0 out of the Big Ten this year, and you would have wins over Penn State, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Ohio State or Penn State again, you're going to the college football playoff. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Headley tweets, Auburn's the most important team ranked right now. Three teams' future depends on what they do the rest of the way. Georgia, Bama, Oregon. No doubt. Georgia loses to Auburn this weekend, it doesn't matter what happened to the rest of the way. A two-loss Georgia team ain't getting into the playoff. And that even means beating LSU in the SEC championship game. I don't think they're putting a two-loss Auburn team, or Georgia team, rather, in there. I don't think. Then again, it's the SEC and the College Football Playoff Committee. Bama-Auburn, the only way for Bama to even be in the conversation is to beat Auburn in the Iron Bowl. And Auburn, if they win the Iron Bowl or beat Georgia and Bama, makes Oregon's loss to them look amazing. Amazing. We have had our fair share of concern here on the DA show that perhaps Mraz is the target of saboteurs. He has now hosted the Saturday night show, The Pork Store, 2A to 6A Eastern Time here on CBS Sports Radio.
Puffiness with sodium.
And 2 weeks out of the five, 1 week on, 1 week off, we would be scheduled for this to happen again this upcoming weekend. All of his files in his folder deleted without any evidence of who did it. Deleted. Nobody stepped forward. Nobody apologized. This is not just a glitch in the system when it happens twice. It's never happened to any other show. And we have talked about in this show and the PGP that Mraz has developed some enemies. He's loud. He's brash on Twitter. He's dismissive of your teams. He likes to pound his chest. He's the pig. He's the oinker. Oinktober. Yankee piggy doodle dandy. And there are some people that just don't like that. There are other people that look at Mraz's success as a man undeserving. Same way that some people have resented other people's success maybe in sports or nepotism in politics or in business or in celebrity. People look at Mraz and say he doesn't work hard and yet he's been promoted. That's not fair. I work hard. I'm not promoted. And I think people also look at Mraz and say he thinks he's a leader, but he's actually not. And he needs to get cut down to size. There's some people that resent his success. No doubt about it. And when you had your producer, Mraz, Ben Horowitz from The Pork Store on last week's PGP, Ben, who is definitely an amateur gumshoe, was starting to cast a pretty wide net of potential saboteurs.
I think that there's a litany of people who could have it out. I think, you know, if you think that it's just this small circle of potential suspects, I think, unfortunately, you're sadly mistaken. Now, I don't agree with what they did by any means. I mean, to me, this is a fireable offense.
Now, that was strong verbiage from a usually reserved Ben Horowitz. He does not throw grenades. He's not a Molotov cocktail guy. He's not a bold, brash, loud, hot take guy. I will ask the only member of this show in management, Pete the Body Bilotti. If we found out somebody purposefully deleted Mraz's files, not once but twice, Bilotti, is it grounds for dismissal?
I'm going to say possibly.
Well, you're really riding the fence on this one.
Yeah, I would need to sit down with the person and just
what would be okay about that they could tell you that you were like, okay, no, we're going to keep you employed?
Busting his chops.
So if it's just a prank.
Right.
If it's just a prank, if it's not done in malice, if it's just a prank, it'd be okay.
And also if it was an accident.
Well, let's assume that it's not an accident because nobody's come forward to admit that. I think they would come forward and admit that, hey, Mraz, I screwed you over. I'm sorry about that.
Also a prank. It happened twice, and there's no way for them to know that I would be able to get whatever I needed done with my show without those.
I have to say, I think if this is done in malice because they resent your success, it is a fireable offense. However, that is suggesting that it's actually an important thing that happened. And I
Are you kidding me?
I don't know how important it is.
My show is important to me. I work hard on crafting that show.
Thank God.
It is important to the listeners on the weekend overnight that they get a good product, and I work hard at putting together a good product.
Well,
if they wipe out every element I have in pre-planning and throw me for a loop, they are not going to get a quality show, and therefore it is important.
Okay, but it's not like they Tonya Harding you where they hit you with a pipe in the knee.
They might as well have.
No, it's not the same. It is just production pieces. It's just elements.
If we found out that somebody was walking around here deleting sound check and we came to DA, we got no way of getting this together.
I'd be furious. I'd be furious.
You wouldn't want their
I would be furious.
Fired?
But I'd have to ask, is it that important? I'd have to ask myself.
You know what? Ask me that tomorrow when I don't give you a sound check sheet. Ask me if it's important.
Okay, well, that's dereliction of responsibility by you.
No, the point is, to me, yes, I find it important.
Okay, so it's a fireable offense to you.
Yes, you have messed with somebody else's show and not once but twice now done it and put the rest of my team in a scramble because if we can't find a way to loop or get the Prolos elements, then we are doing a bare-bones show and that is not fair for consistency or anything.
Somebody has it out for Mraz. That much is obvious. And I love Ben, but Ben pointed the finger at me as well as a suspect.
It's caused some friction in here. I've been looking at you sideways since.
Now, Ben's point was DA might do it knowing it's good content for the show and also that he is technically savvy enough to do it, that most hosts wouldn't know how to do that in the system. He does. And Ben's right. It's a backhanded compliment, but I pride myself on knowing how to use the equipment around here, unlike most hosts, if not all hosts. I edit audio, I montage, I do what I need to do back there. I cut clips so that it sounds right. I know how things work. I could, but hand to God, it's not me because I do realize how important it is. And frankly, I just don't have enough attention to be worrying about the pork store on Saturdays.
Okay, that's fair.
But another thing happened today. For those watching at watchda.com, there was no stream today. We did not have a simulcast. The Wizard of WatchDA.com, Kaplan scrambling at 9 a.m. Eastern time. The feed was down. And I turn to my left. We have a three-camera setup in here. There's two cameras hanging and one camera stationed up on the ceiling that we use for our cameras here on the simulcast. I turn to my left today. One of the cameras today is snapped in half. No joke. It is snapped in half, hanging by one of its wires like a ball on a string, like a tether ball, about to fall. It is about to just totally fall over. Somebody snapped that. Somebody snapped one of these cameras, and the feed went down completely today, leaving the Wizard of Watch DA to scramble. I wonder if the DA show is under fire, that we are under siege, that perhaps somebody resents our success. Maybe people in this building, maybe somebody at the network resents the fact that we come in, we do a good show, we like one another, we seem to be happy, we joke around, we have affiliates are happy. We're growing on a daily basis. We have this wonderfully successful simulcast. We've been honored by industry people, being ranked very high each and every year. I wonder, Mraz, if our success in year number 7 of the network has finally hit a break point with somebody or multiple people inside the organization, and we are under siege. Everything seems... How does this... One camera just gets snapped in the middle of the night, and we come in, and the entire feed is down, and nobody knows why.
It doesn't make any sense, and ironically, they snapped the camera. Shouldn't there be some kind of shot of that person snapping the camera?
The feed is not on in the middle of the night.
See, that's a problem. It should run like surveillance. But I can only say this. Look, guys, let's be honest. If somebody has it out for us, if it's the DA show, the pork store, they don't like the branch off, this is Frazier to Cheers, whatever's going on here that they don't like the simulcast, we got to stick together because what they want is to break us apart.
They do.
And if we don't stick together, then they win. Let's relax.
It's like we've had horse heads put in our beds. These are messages being sent. The first time it happened to you, I said it could be a mistake. The second time, no mistake. And now today, it just so happens, Just so happens. Oh, camera's broken. Feed is down. Snapped in half. Nobody knows why.
It just dawned on me.
On the heels, this would be the week that they would have deleted your stuff. This is every other week something happens.
I know we have to get the break, but it just dawned on me. We missed one major, major culprit who could be doing all of this.
Hold that for the next segment because I got to get to break.
Okay.
I got to hear Mraz's ultimate culprit coming up next and how the Bears screwed up their Trubisky evaluation. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say, I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I don't have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Tomorrow, Mraz's mom has Amy Trask from CBS Sports Network to talk a little football with us. And also Susanna Collins in studio to talk about the MLS Cup. That's all coming up tomorrow morning on the show. Plus, Super Dave has his college football picks, all booked by Mraz's mom. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Geico.com, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. There's some guesses on who the saboteur could be that has deleted Mraz's files multiple times for the pork store and broken our camera on the simulcast. By the way, we're the only show at CBS Sports Radio that uses this set of cameras. There's a set of television cameras for Tiki and Tierney that's on CBS Sports Network televised. We have a different set of cameras for digital. We're the only show that does it. So the only show affected by the broken digital camera is our show. Mraz, you had a light bulb go off. Who do you think is a main culprit, a possible suspect, as a saboteur?
Okay, just hear with me. Somebody that's really well-liked around here, somebody that we've poked a lot of fun at, somebody who's here at all hours, Jody Mack.
Does Jody Mack have the strength to break that camera? I think his bones are pretty brittle. Number two.
But he could sneak in here after sleeping on couches in any hour.
Number two, does he have the technical wherewithal to be able to go into the system and delete your file?
That's why I say, well, like, Jody Mack is beloved around these halls. He could easily find somebody. And the man knows how to print out a ton of horse racing slips. You're telling me he can't go in and delete some files?
I don't know if there's anything to know about that. You punch in your bet, it gets printed out.
All I know is this. We have poked fun at him. We laid low for a while. We've poked fun at him a lot more. He now sees me maybe in cringing on his weekend shows. I don't know. All I know is this. That's another guy, another suspect with plenty of motive.
Can I ask you this? Can I ask you this? Who did you pass to get those shifts? Who else was in the running for those?
To be honest, I frankly don't think anybody.
Okay.
I think I was the last man left standing when the shift became available. I think my guess is the boss has looked around and said, well, weekend overnight, that guy's been asking. Let's go and talk to him. Would be my guess.
There was a really good piece done in the Chicago Tribune about how the Bears came to the conclusion to draft Mitchell Trubisky 2 years ago instead of going with Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. And if you're a Bears fan, it's a must read. I think if you're an NFL fan, it's a must read. Chicago Tribune, and it's a really long, deep dive, but it's really interesting, and it's about how GM Ryan Pace came to the conclusion that Trubisky was his guy. Note that both the Chiefs and the Texans also traded up in that draft. Both of those teams didn't have those guys fall to them. The Chiefs were absolutely convinced Mahomes was going to be a star, a superstar, and the Texans said Deshaun Watson is absolutely our guy. We got to go get him. The Bears, though, had the number three pick in the draft that year and traded up to number two, trading away four picks in return just to get into number two to take Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't want anybody else to steal Trubisky. Now, there's a couple of things that were really notable about this piece that I found very insightful and sometimes staggeringly dangerous and bizarre and scary. But the one thing that popped up consistently was that Ryan Pace was enchanted by Mitchell Trubisky's attitude. That when they sat down to talk, when they had dinner with one another, when they had conversations with him, when he interviewed, when they watched film with him, one thing that came across was easygoing guy, humble, good sense of humor, got along with teammates, wasn't a prima donna, wasn't an arguer, wasn't selfish or arrogant, and that really stuck. And that it keeps coming up in the narrative, that they were just convinced that from a mentality standpoint, he could handle being the star, and that Mahomes and Deshaun kind of had a bit of a swagger that maybe turned them off, that maybe they thought was arrogant, and that Trubisky's attitude was the thing that they kept coming back to. And I think Trubisky being a normal everyday guy and coming from humble beginnings and a regular family, and maybe it seemed like that would help him navigate the expectations. But at the end, it came back to bite him. And that this year's been such a mess because Trubisky has been so hard on himself, has been applying so much pressure to himself, has lost confidence in himself, has doubted himself, and they can't get him out of it. And so here is a regular guy, humble, not arrogant, but when the going got tough, emotionally didn't have the confidence to drag himself out of it, where Mahomes and Deshaun Watson seem like they've always had unbelievable self-belief, which could be arrogance, but also could be exactly what you need when the going gets tough. And that Ryan Pace tricked himself into believing that Trubisky was actually the best quarterback instead of just the best guy to talk to. Now, look, the best guy can be defined in many different ways. In Pace's mind, he was the best guy, the best guy. But, I mean, we've seen Deshaun Watson's been amazing in the community and an amazing leader, and Patrick Mahomes has been amazing in the community, an amazing leader. So, you know, I'm not saying that Trubisky's a better guy. I'm just saying that's what Pace saw and tricked himself into thinking that. I also want to note, and this is interesting. Now, it's easy to kill Pace and the Bears for drafting Trubisky this high, and Watson and Mahomes look like perennial Pro Bowlers and Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks, and who knows, maybe Hall of Famers. And ultimately, look, it's obvious. Trubisky's never going to live up to those two guys. He might have a decent career. He might be an Alex Smith type guy with a decent career, starter for a long time, but he's never going to be as dynamic as Mahomes and Watson. It's always going to look like a mistake, always. But what I didn't realize was the Tribune went back and looked at grades by these mock analysts, by the draft analysts. And so many of them also loved Trubisky. Absolutely loved him. And that is a little terrifying considering Trubisky was a one-year starter at UNC and his biggest claim to fame was going to the Sun Bowl. Kiper, going into draft week, and had Trubisky as his top-rated quarterback. Top-rated. Todd McShay ranked his top five quarterbacks. Trubisky won. Daniel Jeremiah agreed, although Jeremiah said none of the three got a first-round grade. I mean, that's fairly terrifying that all these guys that we trust to evaluate because they've watched a million hours of film and they've talked to all of these coaches and they've watched all of these games and they've analyzed all these things and gone to the combine, they all had Trubisky number one. That makes me question all of their credibility in all of their assessments. Because what did it take to look at Deshaun Watson in college and go, oh yeah, that guy, he can get it done. When we come back here on the show, we'll get to the cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail, and the DA Show listeners weigh in on who they think the saboteur is. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, how's it going, D.A.? Thanks for making the driving traffic so easy. It feels great.
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
What made America the greatest country in the world? Hard work, faith, education.
44 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, okay.
It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. John in St. Paul says, D.A., I finally got to see your Nomad. Looked like you guys had a good time. Happy to see it. I want to know, what is it like to travel with Maraz to all these places? Yes, this new episode of Nomad took us to the Twin Cities for the Final Four last year. And we got to see a behind-the-scenes tour of Target Field, home of the Twins, which was really cool. And then also we went to a Minnesota Wild game. And I have to say, it's really enjoyable. Maraz is a great travel partner. He really is. Now, there's two things that I do have to add in as a caveat. Number one, I don't sit next to Maraz usually. So he's not pouring into my seat. We're usually in a different row. That's helpful because I don't know. I'm kind of thin. He's kind of rotund. I'm not sure how that would work.
We did Boise back and forth.
We did.
Where I was watching actual sports and you were watching 85 Bears documentary.
Yes, yes. But usually, so that separation helps. And then number two, we have now found a good groove where we don't stay in the same room. We usually get an Airbnb where we have the same communal area but two different bedrooms. And that separation's really helped. I mean, think about it. It's like the strongest marriages is when you don't always see your spouse. Like if your spouse is on the road for a day or two here or visits a family member there, and then you kind of come back together and you miss one another. If you're always on top of one another, you get really annoyed. Maraz and I have enough space to where it's really fun. It's like he goes to his bedroom, I go to my bedroom, and then we come out and we watch some TV together. We go out and we eat together. We go to the sporting event together. We do the show together. But then we come back, we have our separate space. And when we travel, we've had our separate space as well. So I think that's the key. But I have to say, Minnesota, we had a great time, really fun time. And when we went out to the hockey game, it was really cool because in some ways you were kind of leading me as the tour guide because you knew more hockey than I did. So you got the tickets. You were kind of the catalyst behind getting the tickets, where we would sit, how much we would spend, where we would go to eat. We went to a hockey pub to go eat beforehand and have some beers. You helped me walk around and kind of navigate the arena. Oh, this is what the Wild do here. And so I thought it worked out really well.
I agree. There are plenty of things where I could try to lead the way. Maybe I do a little more research on you or overly researchable on stuff, especially the Airbnb, because I am not booking that. I don't know what I'm doing with that. Mm-hmm. But I think overall it works well. I really do.
I agree.
Except for that one time we had the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and I got to the Airbnb before you, and you walked into me in basically an undershirt tank top with Fritos all over my chest, dip out, you know, one ugly Talon toe out watching the Grammys. That was not a good start to that trip.
It was an ugly scene. I walked into.
I'm the man.
It was a crime scene. I walked into there. Some other suggestions on who the saboteur of the DA show could be. Zach tweets, DA, you get good content by sabotaging Maraz. Time to confess your sins. You know, I actually can see why people would say that, and it's true. It has been good content, but I'm just not engaged enough to do that to Maraz. And I joke about how important it is, but I do know how important that actually is to a host. I know how important it is when I have my production pieces and our sound effects and all of that. So I wouldn't do that to Maraz. Dixieland Dan tweets, I got two guesses here. It's a known fact that Maraz and another very large host don't get along. Said host could get his producer to do this in the early morning, or maybe there's some certain lady's husband that's tired of Maraz ogling his wife's sandwiches. Now, I don't know these two references. Is there somebody that works here that you like their sandwiches? Maybe, are we saying chicken pesto lady's husband?
That's the only person's sandwich I understand. Other than that, I have no idea what that reference is. So try again.
And I love me a big guy that likes a sub.
Joel tweets, bro, you messed with the bull and you got the horns. Did you know it could be an HVAC guy? Maybe it's Matt in L.A. Guy's been AWOL in Cali since Jim Rome came to New York City. Never underestimate him. Yeah, but I don't think Matt in L.A. would go after Mraz. This is somebody in-house around here. Dirtbag tweets, it could be Bogus. Resentment over Mraz's success and the failure of Bogus at the plate. Motive and opportunity. Bogus has denied it. Adam tweets, Berman. Definitely Berman. Look, he is on the suspect list. Right? I mean, that's...
And he's been a real crankopotamus to me on Twitter lately, too. I don't know what's going on with him.
Crankopotamus?
He has been.
Yeah, you guys have been going at it on Twitter recently.
I'm just ignoring him. Just everything I type, there's always another answer from him.
Well said.
Bilotti, you have a potential candidate?
I don't know how we have not mentioned this guy. He's been subject to a lot of things on the DA show. He can access the files. He's around here on the weekends.
Okay.
Peter Schwartz.
Okay. Okay, so.
Certainly worth talking to.
I had nothing to do with it.
Schwartz has a motive. We poke fun at Schwartz quite a bit around here.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
We have definitely poked fun, and we have essentially accused him and hung him on air for the muffin incident, and this has all happened since the muffin gate.
That's right.
But I don't think Schwartz has a vindictive bone in his body. I think he denies, but I don't think he's vindictive. I could be wrong. Maybe I don't know him well enough.
MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy or Molly.
Maybe somebody like Taz offered him free tickets to something to do it, and it was a collaborative effort.
We got to get to the bottom of this. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Last night, Evansville knocks out, takes down number one Kentucky at Rupp Arena, and the play-by-play call was eh. And then we compared this to Dave Friedman, Super Dave, our Super Dave's Winthrop upset of ranked St. Mary's and said, now that's a call.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This has got to be the biggest win in Evansville history, I got to think. I know it's November, but Evansville just beat the number one team in the country at Rupp. I got to have more juice than that, Mraz. I feel like these guys, they'll never get a bigger call. They've got to be melting down.
Sestina looks to inbounds. He throws it into Maxi with 5 seconds. Maxi with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a three. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
I don't know. I got to have meltdown there. I got to have screaming there. I got to have somebody losing their mind and melting down.
There it is. Fly ball to right. And the Royals lead the series 2-0.
It's just disappointing because you can't even play back that call historically and go, wow, what a moment that was. It feels like who cares?
USA Today called this one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history. College basketball history.
And stun the number one Wildcats 67-64.
Jalaire with home run number 46.
But going back to 2007, this is the biggest upset for Kentucky since 2007 against Gardner Webb.
Ground ball under the glove of Flores, the shortstop, and into left field. Moustakas scores. Gordon's going to go to second, and he's in there safely.
Wow. And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky.
So let's compare this to our very own Super Dave, the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, as they went to St. Mary's two nights ago and pulled off the upset.
Free throw up, no good. St. Mary's the rebound. Bales down 2, 5 seconds to go. Jordan Ford drives to the bucket. Floater up, no good. And it's over. Winthrop shocks number 18, St. Mary's.
Slalom.
And it's over.
Slalom.
And it's over.
Slalom.
And it's over.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Super Dave's call is so good. He'll join us tomorrow for his college football picks, trying to catch up to Mraz in the standings. By the way, news coming down this morning, Mike Piazza is going to end up managing the Italian baseball team. I think that Piazza is one of those athletes that does not know what to do in his post-playing career. That he never really had any direction or pursuits or interests. He bought that third division soccer team. That became a disaster. Now he's going to manage the European Baseball Championship, having never been a manager before, ever. And I got to think he's like, oh, Matheny's managing? Oh, Hinch is managing? Oh, Beltran just got a job? Well, I could do that. Yeah, I'll just walk into the World Baseball Classic and start my managing career. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the wizard of WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, Amy Trask on the NFL from CBS Sports and Susanna Collins in studio after her trip to Seattle for the MLS Cup. That's coming up tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.